I'm wrapping up my season sermon series on the names of Jesus, the messianic names, the His Name is Wonderful series of sermons. This morning we're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, another classic Christmas style text, as this is the last Sunday of the Christmastide season. Epiphany Sunday is most fitting to wrap this up. We're on page number 1645 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there, as we look at the first 18 verses in John chapter 1. And by the way, we don't have sermon notes today. You get a day off of taking notes, but you can always take your own. But anyhow, as we look to John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." I've been listening to some of the songs of the incarnation of Michael Card, one of my favorite Christian musicians, and he wrote a song named "The Final Word," which has become the inspiration for my message. The title of this song and the first phrase of this song, "The Final Word," is "You and me, we use so many So very many clumsy words, casual words. So much of our conversation is filled with small talk, or, as the Bible says, idle words. Conversation with neighbors, or with husband or wife, or with parents and children. "How are you?" "Fine." "How was school?" "Okay." "What's new?" "Same old thing." "Isn't this some weather we're having today?" "Yes." So rich, right? In contrast to our small talk, it's God's profound revelation in Jesus Christ, the Word. The Word, or the Logos, as the Greek word for the Word is, God's most powerful, profound, and complete expression of Himself. He has revealed Himself as light and life and love through the incarnate Word. The Word. Kind of reminds me of back in the day, there used to be a commercial about a financial resource, E.F. Hutton. Remember those commercials? When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. There you go. It's a shame, isn't it, that people don't listen when God speaks as well. People, the people of God, have never been very good listeners for 2,000 years before Jesus came as the incarnate Word. The Word became flesh in Christ. God revealed Himself. For 2,000 years, God spoke through prophets and preachers. They were often maligned, disregarded, ignored. And yet God was speaking all those years. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word." Jesus is God's final Word. We often compete to get the last word in, don't we? The reason is there's power in having the defining last comments in a conversation. The punchline is always the most important part, element in joke telling. You hear people say, "This is my final word on the subject. That's it. I have nothing more to say on the matter. It implies completeness, finality. That's all I have to say." And there's a sense in which Jesus is God's final word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The total and complete revelation of God Himself. Enough said. And as we read this, we should catch our attention. Don't miss this. You can almost hear God saying, "This is my word." In moments of distraction and daydreaming, not that we're prone to do any of that in church, but anyhow, pay attention to this. "This is my word," God says. Don't take this word lightly. It's full of grace and truth. The final word. The Word, God revealed Himself in Christ through the Old Testament law, the prophets, the law, the wisdom literature. God had revealed Himself, but now in the New Testament, that revelation has come to completion. God Himself shows up. The Word, the Logos, the pattern, the picture, the full expression, the very image, the veritable icon of what God wished to communicate to us in humanity. You remember in the very beginning, God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be, let there be." And finally, the culmination of creation, the crown of creation, was human beings. Man, created in God's image, said, "Let us create man in our image." Male and female created him. But God's image got bent, broken, distorted. And yet, in Jesus, the perfect man, the perfect representation of the image of God, as we just read, that image is restored, redeemed, corrected fully God's perfect prototype, the second Adam. God in a bod, so to speak. True God of true God, we sing, light of light, eternal. Lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb. Son of the Father, begotten, not created. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. As John puzzled over how to communicate this God, especially to the Gentiles, to culminate all of the Jewish prophecies and history, and now pass it on to the Gentiles, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John chose this word, logos, the word. And he was drawing on a Greek philosophical concept of divinity. The Greeks had this idea that the order behind the created world, reality as we know it in the natural world, the supreme reason, which was so significant to Aristotle and the Greeks, the sustaining mind, logic, enabling humanity to understand truth and reason. Remember, full of grace and truth. John chooses this, but weaves this together with the Hebrew understanding of deity and divinity, that of the light. The life of God became the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness. God's illumination, power in human darkness, the light in life. There's more to this word, God's word, than meets the eye. This final word. Yes, God still communicates to us today. When I say final word, that doesn't mean that God, the Holy Spirit, is not continuing to speak to us today. God continues to illumine his written word by the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and direction by his Spirit. Especially in specific circumstances, God continues to speak today, but never in conflict and contrast to the revelation that came in Christ and was written down by Jesus' eyewitnesses, the first apostles. God still speaks to us today by the Holy Spirit, but the book has been written. The written word is that fullness, that final word, reflecting Jesus, the Logos, the Word. There's no more revelation. And you need to get this. This is a very important concept. We say that the canon of Scripture is closed. Not a canon like shooting things, but anyhow, the canon from the Greek word kanon. The rule, the standard, the measure of all truth, 66 books of the Bible contain the Word of God. We're not adding on to it. It is the standard by which we judge all truth. So important for us to say that. In one of my former youth groups, there was a teenager in a confirmation class that said, but what if God says something else? And it was kind of in the context of a discussion. The Bible says this. about homosexuality. The Bible says this in reference to abortion. And that's what determines our Christian position on issues that are very contemporary. Okay? She said, but what if God says something else? Well, God continues to bring light, show light, shine light on His Word, but His Word is not changing, and there's nothing to be added to it. We're not adding chapter 23 to the book of Revelation. We're not adding John part 2, the sequel, or the prequel. Now when, listen, I know Charles Stanley, you're thinking, I've watched him already. Okay, listen. When I say that the Bible defines how we should believe about very relevant contemporary issues like the practice of homosexuality, the Bible also defines how Christians should act towards those who have had abortions, who practice same-sex marriage. The Bible says that we are to love, be gracious, be kind to. It is not license to bash people over the head with the Bible. It's not license to be self-righteous and obnoxious. But it is the rule, the standard. Because the apostles were the last witnesses to His Majesty, the Bible says. The apostles were the ones that were the last ones to be able to give us a witness of what God said in Jesus Christ, the final word. His revelation is complete in Christ, total, sufficient, and final. These apostolic authors give us light by which God Himself reveals Himself, the standard by which all truths, all opinions, all ideas are judged. Jesus, the Word, God Himself in human flesh, Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus. We don't need anyone or anything more than Him. Jesus. The exact representation of God's being. The final word. He is our final answer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for revealing Yourself to us, for coming to earth that we might see God incarnate, that we might see You, that we might understand You. By the written testimony of Your Word, we have the express revelation of Yourself. Help us, Lord, to know what You are saying to us in Your Word, in Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. Reveal Yourself to us. Disclose Yourself to us. That we might be in personal relationship with You. That we might live with grace and truth as You have revealed Yourself. Help us, Lord, to be graceful. Help us, Lord, to be people of the truth. To be reflecting Your perfect image in our lives. Come, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to move us according to that which You have revealed, that we might be light in this world, that we might be agents of Your life in this world, that we might love one another and love others as You have loved us. For the sake of Your revelation to this dark world, it has no comprehension. Help us, Lord, to see the light of Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.